The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, so we are back with a brand new episode. This episode is entitled The Outing. This episode deals with Jerry and George being mistaken for two gay men by a writer for the NYU, and it just sort of goes on this roller coaster of them trying to prove that they're not gay, but also trying not to appear as being homophobic. So they come up with the immortal lines, not that there's anything wrong with that, when referencing things that are seemingly gay. What did you think of this episode?
Oh man, I forgot how funny this episode is. It's one of the best episodes.
Like, I agree.
Of the actual series, of the entire series, this is one of the best episodes.
I think this is a seminal episode.
Yeah. It's look, I can't remember what TV was like back in what, 94, I think, is when this came out. This episode or this year. I can't remember, but TV in the 90s didn't like talk about gay people.
No, they just were ignored.
And they didn't do it. And if they did, they certainly didn't do it, you know, through the straight gaze. You know what I mean? Like, it was the only other show I can think of around that time is Ellen. And yes. We talked about it when we were watching the show. Like, Ellen's sitcom was funny until, you know, she came out and then she had a chip on her shoulder and it's like, yeah, I'm gay and I dare you to knock this gay chip off my shoulder. And then that's what the show became about. Like, it stopped being funny.
Yeah. But it wasn't just about like the day in the life of this character. It was sort of revenge because people were fucking bigots. And I get it.
I understand. Look, I'd be bitter.
Yeah, of course. But look, Ellen won, okay? Ellen's the new Oprah. She's the gay Oprah, where Oprah was the black Oprah, and she's the gay Oprah, and she's got a smoking hot wife. Yeah, she won. Dude, Portia Rossi's a good-looking woman, man. Ellen, you won, because Ellen is the most generic-looking lesbian stereotype I've ever seen.
So, she really is.
She really is. And she's in fucking those fucking Finding Nemo, Finding Dory movies. Like, Not only did she win by having an attractive spouse and becoming a huge success in daytime television, but she's also like loved. People love Ellen. Like, they just do. And I've seen some bits of her show. Shit's funny. Like, she's good. She gets to dance with the fucking president and shit. It's all good for her. I never understood anybody who watches Ellen's like, I don't like her. Why? She's like a goofy, she's a total goofball.
Yeah,
she just says. So this episode is, I have to say, this episode is funnier now than I ever recall it being back when I originally saw it. Like, just because of the way the world is now, and people are much more open about these sort of things. And obviously, there's still bigotry in the world, unfortunately. But just, like, seeing the world through the lens of the 90s is, on this topic particularly, it's just hilarious to me.
What I take from this episode, given the state of the world as it is now, is that I read this as, you know, super white liberals, like, really haven't changed over the years, right? Like, them saying, not that there's anything wrong with that, is like, yeah, but in the back of your mind, you do kind of think something's wrong with it, don't you? Otherwise, you wouldn't have to qualify.
Right, exactly.
I don't know.
It's a little bit of liberal guilt.
Yeah. It's like, hey, guys, don't worry. You're okay with me.
Yeah.
Some
of my best friends are gay.
So that's it. That's exactly what it is.
Like, why do you keep qualifying it? Like, no. I mean, I've got a... You know, my dad's gay, you know, like that fucking line from George. So Okay, so the episode opens with Jerry, George, and Elaine are sitting at Monk's, and Elaine notices that these women at the in the booth behind them are eavesdropping on their conversation. So Elaine's like, "Oh, I got an idea," and so she just starts going off about, you know, how George and Jerry are gay and they need to just come out of the closet and, you know, like, you know, just be free and all sorts of stuff. I mean, you have to remember this is in 1993. Right. So that conversation in and of itself is huge. Like, that's a huge conversation, especially about two men. And so she's like, "Oh, you should just come out of the closet." And you can see, like, this woman is like, "Ooh, whoa, like, oh, what are they talking about? This is a big deal." Where in 2016, no one gives a shit. I'm like, could you stop talking so fucking loud? Like, that would be my response.
Right.
So George is like, yeah, he's like playing along. And Jerry's like, no, this is fucking dumb. Get out of my face. I'm not doing this. Which is kind of a sign of like a little bit of his homophobia.
Yeah.
Right.
So quite frankly, I would have expected George's character.
Yes.
To do that.
Yeah. Who's way more neurotic than Jerry is. So Jerry's like, no, I'm not doing it. And he makes some joke about how George would just go along and just tell Jerry to go along, even if they were in like Nazi Germany. Like, just go along. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's like, it's not a big deal. Because they're Jews, by the way, in case you have forgotten. So then,
you know what's funny though? Like, you know what's funny? Like, and I don't know if the show did this on purpose, but George's willingness to pretend to be in a gay relationship with Jerry is called back again when George has a girlfriend who kind of looks like Jerry.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that's just like, maybe that's just a quirky little character thing for George. I didn't even put two and two together until just now. That's kind of funny.
Oh, so basically that he kind of does. I mean, it's sort of an unconscious, he loves Jerry, and it's sort of an unconscious thing.
Right. Right.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, they spend a lot of time together. They're best friends, and they spend more time together than him and than Jerry and Elaine do.
Right.
I mean, shit, even more than Kramer does. I mean, I don't even know. I can't think of it personally that there's an episode that George isn't in. You know, like, he's a significant, I mean, he's the second largest character in the show by far. So yeah, that's kind of funny. Maybe there is a sort of an underlying B story throughout the entire series. We'll have to like kind of keep our eye out for that. So when they're in the coffee shop, Jerry talks about how he's he actually is often thought to be gay, and so I have that clip, so I want to play that. It's really quite funny.
Fun. You know, I hear that all the time.
Hear what?
That I'm gay. People think I'm gay.
Yeah, you know, people ask me that about you, too.
Yeah, because I'm single, I'm thin, and I'm neat.
And you get along well with women.
Guess that leaves me in the clear.
Poor George. He just can't fucking win.
Anybody ever mistake you for being gay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because, again, Because I'm thin. Like, for some reason, that's a thing. I don't know why. But, like, thin, I'm fairly cultured. Yeah. Like, yeah, of course. Absolutely.
You have a sous vide.
I do have a sous vide, yeah. It's not a hard D at the end, but whatever. but, yeah, I think it's because, like, I know things like that. Like, I'm not, I don't know. I guess I don't live by, like, those, like, hyper male stereotypes. Like, I just don't. What about you?
My dad thought I was gay. I remember this was right before I moved out. We got into like an argument or whatever, and you know, women terrify me. Women that I want to have sex with, like, they terrify me. And or that women that I find attractive on some level, like, terrify me. Like, I can't talk to them, right? Because I'm too afraid that, you know, I'll say what I'm really thinking, and they'll be talking about the state of politics, and I'll say something like, wow, your cleavage looks really nice. You know what I mean? Like,
good job.
So, right. So I didn't bring too many women home. Plus, you know, it's my parents' house. Like, the fuck? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like,
I'm not going to bring, you know, a cavalcade of women, you know, to my parents' house.
I like how you're trying to imply that there you've had a cavalcade of women.
No, you can count the entire roster of women that I've been with in my life on two hands.
There you go.
And still have a couple fingers left over to fucking pick your nose. And yeah, we got into some argument or some bullshit where, you know, it was time to go. It's like, you're 26 and this, that, and the other, and I don't know what's wrong with you. Like, are you gay? Are you gay? Because if you're gay, I mean, you know, I still love you and all, but, you know, and I'm like,
how progressive of you, Dad.
Right, right. And I'm like,
I still love you. I mean, don't touch me.
Wow. But I'm not gay, Pops. I'm not gay. But I just found it weird because I didn't know I gave off a gay vibe.
I think it's that, especially with like black parents, it's like if you're a guy, like if you're not just like running through women, then the assumption is, yes, that you are in fact gay, which is so silly to me.
Yeah, I never understood it, man. Never understood it.
Yeah,
I mean, look, more power to you. Look, I wish I was running through all them women when I was younger, but
no, but it was not happening.
No, yeah, that shit wasn't happening.
Yeah, I mean, like my whole thing is, I used to be like, I think most, especially black guys, I think this has happened to all of us to some degree just because of the way we were raised. Like, I used to be like a super homophobe when I was religious. Like, I absolutely was. I can totally admit that. That's how fucked up religion is. And I just kind of one day I was like, what are you doing? Like, really? This is what you're doing? You're going to be that guy? I was like, nah, I don't want to be this guy. And I was like, yeah, they're just people just like everybody else. And they just want to fuck other people. Like, yeah, okay, I'm over it. Like, it was like literally that simple. I was like, you're being a dick. So, yeah, I understand homophobia. I don't obviously condone it. I think that's ridiculous. But like, I understand where it comes from. It comes from you being taught really fucked up things and it just being reinforced over and over again. Or you're like totally into dudes and you just feel bad about it. So you lash out. Like, that definitely happens for a lot of people too. Which is also sad. But yeah, I mean, like, and I'm sure I'll tell this story on this episode. Like, I don't even notice a lot of times gay folks at all. You know, some people are like, oh, there's a gay guy over there or a gay woman. I'm like, is it? Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't.
Yeah. Like the time took us to me and JTD to a gay bar in D.C.
It's not a gay bar. It was a restaurant. I didn't notice. I just did not notice, even though.
Yeah, you really didn't notice. I don't know how you didn't notice. It was a bald guy with a hairy chest. I could tell because the shirt he was wearing was unbuttoned down to the bottom of his sternum. And he had tight ass fucking jean shorts on.
Did he? I swear to God. I swear to God, I didn't even notice.
That's all I do, man. I sit and I judge. I sit, observe, and judge people. That's all I do.
That's funny. And, like, I did not notice literally at all. All I could think is, wow, they have a really good charcuterie plate here. Like, that's all I noticed. That's it. Even though apparently that restaurant was registered on thegayosphere.com. That's not where I found out about it. I found it on Yelp. I didn't know. No one said, like, hey, this has the best charcuterie plate / hot dudes. Like, I didn't know. Turns out. Hey, man.
I mean, I had the pork shank. Pork shank was really good.
Yeah, look, those gay dudes can cook, man. I didn't give a shit. I just don't care. Now, okay, so you have been mistaken for being gay. It's happened to the best of us. Now, there's anything wrong with that. Now, the question is, have you been somewhere where you are very well aware that people think that you're gay and, like, you've been hit on by other dudes?
Oh, no. I've never been hit on by a dude. I wouldn't even know how to take that. Well, I guess it would depend on what the dude looks like. Like, I don't want, you know.
I don't know how to take that. Well, I'm sure you'd figure it out.
I mean, God damn. That's a crazy joke. Would you prefer, if you were gay, would you prefer the twink or would you prefer the bear? Because I think I would prefer the twink, but maybe that's just me in my straightness, you know.
Yeah, I feel like that. Yeah, that's a straight bias. That's a straight bias because you're just trying to pick something that is close to what you find aesthetically pleasing to women.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be more of a Bryan Singer-esque person. I'd be more of a twink guy. But that being said, like, I have been... So a friend of mine, who you know, actually, he used to live in New York. He's a good friend of my wife's. And he's openly gay. Like, he's actually a very good friend of ours. And, like, a real stand-up dude. And he used to live in New York, and he used to work at this bar. It was a gay bar. And we would go in there and, like, hang out with him, like, during the day, like, on a Saturday, like, before they had a bunch of people there or whatever. And this is out in Brooklyn. And I remember the very first time we went, like, they were having the owners or whatever, which he obviously knew because he worked there. They were having, like, a cookout. And, like, the bar had, like, a backyard kind of thing. So before it opened, like, a bunch of people were there. It was just, like, hanging out. Like, it was no big deal. Then we went back another time, and my wife and I were up in New York for an event, so I was, like, dressed up, and we went there after this event. I don't remember what the hell it was. I think we were at the Met or something, and we went to this place to meet up with our friend, who was, at that time, he wasn't working there anymore, but, you know, he still hung out there, and it's, like, wall-to-wall dudes, right, and there's, like, a couple women in there, and so I met up with him first, and then my wife was meeting us there like a couple minutes later or something like that. So I got there first, and I'm like dressed up. I'm like in a fucking suit, like a fucking baller ass hat. Like I'm looking good. Like I'm looking damn good. Okay, you know, if I can be if I can give some credit to myself, and I walk in, and like I'm clearly being hit on by like a number of dudes, and like and it was kind of one of those things. And so I'm like talking to my buddy who works or who's hanging out there, and It was one of those moments where I was like, huh, like if I was into it, I could probably get laid like right now. And I was like, I don't want that. I don't. But one of the things like, and this is the thing I don't get about homophobia. Like it still made me feel good that people thought I was attractive. Like it I don't want to sleep with any of you. Gross. Like, and it's not because you're gay. It's just because that's not my thing. Like, but like, I was kind of like, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, it
you
does,
goddamn right.
It does,
like, yeah, keep looking, like, you know? And it was just kind of funny. Like, it is
It does
funny
stroke the ego to know that, yeah, I could if I wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
But I choose not to.
Yes, like, hard pass. But like, it kind of, like, it does. It strokes your ego, right? So it kind of was funny. And, like, we, like, all three, my wife and I and that friend, we left. And, like, we were staying with him. And he goes... He said, like, we got back to his apartment, and he was like, you know, there was, like, three dudes who, like, came up to him separately and were like, who, because they know him, and they were like, and they knew we weren't dating, and they were like, who's your friend? Like, like, can I get his number or whatever? I was like, damn, really? That has literally never happened to me with women. So women can take a fucking hard lesson from gay men. Like, get out there. Look, those dudes don't give a shit. They're right in your face. But right. I just thought that was funny. It was like, yeah, I felt a little good. I popped my collar a little bit, strut. I was like, yeah, that's right. But, yeah, hey, man.
What was your, do you remember your first, for lack of a better term, experience yeah, with a gay man? Like the first time you ever met a gay person?
Oh, it was like my uncle, like my great uncle or whatever. We used to, I shit you not. Or he was my grandmother's cousin. We used to, like, obviously, now looking back, it was like this dude was clearly openly gay, and like he's an older dude. He's dead now, unfortunately. But he went by Cousin Star. How did people not know? Oh, and he always had his friend that was always there. Yeah, that was my. I knew that there was clearly something different about him than anyone else. I was like, this guy's like kind of like real life Little Richard. Like, that's kind of it. I mean, like, literally, he was almost exactly like Little Richard. It was kind of funny. Yeah, I didn't give a shit. Cousin Star was awesome. Like, he was just, like, super real. Kind of like, you know how, I don't think Pat Mooney is gay, but you know how Pat Mooney acts? You know, like, just, he's just a little bit more flamboyant.
Paul Mooney?
Or excuse me, yeah, Pat Mooney. Paul Mooney,
yes. Who the fuck is Pat Mooney? Is Pat Mooney Paul Mooney's gay brother?
Yes, he's his gay white brother. Yeah, you know how, like, Paul Mooney, like, I could totally understand. I don't know if he is or not, but, like, you could totally understand if someone thought he was gay. Like, I feel like he was kind of like that. And you're just like, okay, like, whatever. You're still hilarious, so I don't really give a shit. What about you? What was your first experience? That's funny. It's a hilarious way of stating that.
My mom worked with a guy named, and he was a good friend of hers, named Mike White. And this dude, now that I'm thinking about it, he was the nicest guy in the world, right? Nicest guy in the world. Now that I'm thinking back on it, I cannot believe that I didn't know that he was gay. I think I was so young that I didn't know what gay was. Because Mr. Mike White, like, not only was he gay, he was white man 80s gay.
Oh, so he was like Freddie Mercury gay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, again, like, push broom, mustache, curly dark hair, spoke with the most ridiculous gay voice that you have ever heard. It was like, you know, Mr. Slave from South Park.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like, yeah. Imagine that, but, you know, with bass in his voice.
Wow.
Like, oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, well, how you doing there? And like a little bit of a Southern accent. How you doing there, Marlene? It's my mother. How you doing? Where's little Micah? Oh, really? And I remember one time I was asleep. And this sounds really bad, but it's not. Trust me. I was asleep.
Yeah, this story is starting off hot.
I was asleep, and Mr. Mike White came in, and he started speaking to me. And a couple minutes later, he goes out to my mother, and he's like, "What's wrong with Micah? Why is he not talking?" And my mother came in there, and she was like, "He's asleep. Like, he sleeps with his eyes open."
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so creepy. I never knew that.
Yeah. Sometimes, not all the time, but that time, like, my eyes were open enough where, because I don't have bug eyes. Like, I have like droopy dog eyes. And
dude, that's super creepy, by the way.
And yeah, they were open. They were open. And he thought that I was just being an asshole. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, I don't talk to the gay dudes. But yeah. Like,
see, your sleeping habits prove that you were a homophobe.
How? When I was aware, like, I didn't even know what the fuck. Like, oh, yeah, it's Mr. Mike White.
Yeah.
This is Mike White.
There isn't one.
She's dead.
She died alone.
My mother. She's dead.
It's my mother. Yeah, it's just funny. I don't know. Like, it's so weird in 2016 to think of, like, being homophobic. Like, it's just odd to me. Like, for me to be homophobic. Like, it's just odd to me. Like, why? Who cares? Like, look, I've met more straight people who I should openly judge than gay folks. I can tell you 100%.
Like, well, and that's the thing.
Percentage-wise? Like, yeah.
People are like, you know, oh, God says you shouldn't do it. God says you shouldn't do it. But here's the argument, right? Here's the argument that I throw back at him, right? Like, why do you care? Because that means there's more room up there for you.
That's right? A pretty good argument.
I mean, like, they got to reach, you know, capacity at some point, right? Like, the fire marshal's got to come in there and fucking bust down them doors. Like, you got way too many people up in here. You need to throw some of them downstairs.
There's no fire. There are cloud marshals. There's no fire in hell.
Cloud marshals. Well, the fire marshals come up from hell saying, yeah. Look.
To ruin everyone's fun.
Right. Like, you got to bring some of these down with us.
We've come to collect. Now show us all the gays. We're taking them. Transgender, we're taking them. Yeah, it's just so silly to me. Like, it's so silly. Like, I just don't get why anyone would care. So, all right. So, let's move on. So So the woman who was eavesdropping on their conversation just so happened to be a woman that Jerry was supposed to meet up with from NYU, who was supposed to interview him. And obviously they didn't cross paths then. They were supposed to meet up, but missed each other because they didn't know what the other one looked like when they were at Monk's. And you come to find out that this woman, Sharon, from NYU, now thinks that Jerry and George are gay. And so Sharon goes and leaves a voicemail for Jerry on his phone. And she says, oh, okay, give me a call later and, you know, we'll try to meet up. And then we switch to like later in the day or the next day or something. Jerry sets it up so that Sharon can come and visit him at his apartment so that way they can do the interview. Now, George is at the apartment and Sharon comes up, but she doesn't recognize them right away. Or actually, no, she does. She does recognize them. And she's like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to interview you, Jerry, and him too, and George as well. And he's like, okay, that seems kind of weird. And then they start sitting down and talking, doing the interview, and George is like asking her, or she's asking all these like bizarro questions, like, you know, when did you guys meet? You know, how long have you guys, you know, known each other and all this other stuff, all like very relationshipy kind of questions.
Yeah, she was like, so what else do you do besides comedy? And Jerry's like, well, George and I, we are writers. I'm writing a pilot. And she's like, oh, so you work together too? Jerry's like, what?
Well, and it was funny because there was a number of little moments like that. He was like trying to pick it up.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, George is completely oblivious, right?
Yeah, oh, totally, totally. Because there, at one point she says, what do your parents think? And Jerry's like, what do our parents think of what? And George is like, they don't have a clue what's going on. Like, he's just like answering the questions. It's just so fucking funny. And so then it's revealed that, so George then interrupts the interview to ask Sharon what she thinks of his shirt.
Let me ask you something. What do you think of this shirt?
It's nice.
Jerry said he didn't like it.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said it was okay.
Oh, you said you didn't like it.
Oh, well, so what if I don't like it? Is that like the end of the world or something?
So how did you two meet?
Oh, actually, we met in the gym locker room.
Yeah. Actually, it was in gym class. I was trying to climb the ropes, and Jerry was spotting me. And that... I kept slipping and burning my thighs. And then finally I slipped and I fell on Jerry's head. Yeah, we've been close ever since.
Do you guys live together?
Live together?
No, I got my own place.
Oh. And do your parents know?
Know what?
My parents? They don't know what's going on.
Oh, God, you're that girl in the coffee shop that was eavesdropping on us. I knew you looked familiar.
Oh, no! Oh. No!
I better get going.
There's been a big misunderstanding here.
Yeah, yeah.
We did that whole thing for your benefit. We knew you were eavesdropping. That's why my friend said all that. It was on purpose. We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, of course not.
I mean, it's fine if that's who you are.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have many gay friends.
My father's gay.
Look, I... Random. I know what I heard.
It was a joke.
All right, look, you want to have sex right now? Do you want to have sex with me right now? Let's go.
God damn it, Jason Alexander steals every scene he's in, man.
Dude, that fucking scene is so good.
Let's go, baby!
He's so fucking hyped up. I love it, dude. Like, again, George is completely oblivious right until Jerry says, yeah, you're the woman from the coffee shop. And he's like, oh no! Oh no! Like, he just starts freaking out. So Sharon leaves. She still believes that they are gay. And, so then she actually writes the story and publishes it in NYU. And they're like, well, nobody's going to see it. But then the Associated Press picks it up. And so then it goes into papers all over the country. And like Jerry ends up like getting on the phone with the reporter. And Elaine goes to meet this woman at her job or at her dorm. And she's like, look, they're not gay. It was all like bullshit. Like, you know, please don't post this. It's like, it's ridiculous.
Well, but, I don't think she did, because for some strange reason, Elaine had this thing where she was just wearing a coat all the time.
Oh, right, right, right. And they never got to the conversation. That's right.
Right, because the NYU woman was like, oh, come in, have a seat, take your coat off. And Elaine was like, I don't want to take my coat off. And then we cut to her in the coffee shop saying, she tried to manhandle it off of me, so I left.
Yeah, it's like, and you fucked us over. Now, while they're having that conversation in Monk's, like, these two guys are pointing at Jerry and then, like, looking at a newspaper. And then that's when they find out that it was in the Associated Press. He was like, I've been outed. I wasn't even in, which is just another great line. And then a soldier comes up to Jerry and he goes, yeah, thank you guys for coming out. I'm going to come out, even though this will cost me my time in the military. I'm going to be kicked out. And he's like, but I appreciate it. Thank you. And Jerry's like, oh boy, like, I'm sorry. And at that same time, it's around Jerry's birthday, so everybody's buying Jerry gifts. And George had gotten him two tickets to see Guys and Dolls that he was going to go with Jerry to see, which that seems pretty gay.
That seems pretty goddamn gay. I'm sorry.
Look, I'm sure Guys and Dolls is very good. I'm not going to go see Guys and Dolls with you. Like, I'm just not.
Yeah, no. Like, no. Just, no.
Yeah, it's
no.
Fine. It's fine. No, I'm just not going to do it. Meanwhile, Elaine was going to buy, or she did buy Jerry a two-line phone. God, it's such the 90s. And so he can make, you know, make a call and then pick up another call on the other line. And so she goes to buy that. And when she's at Jerry's apartment, Kramer comes in with a two-line phone as a gift. And so she's like, oh, fuck, I got to return it. And so now Jerry has this two-line phone. And so he goes to try it and it all works and everything. And then later on, he's on the phone with he receives a phone call from the woman Sharon about how she's not going to run the story that they're gay. So again, here's another clip.
Hello. Hey, it's working. This is great. Thanks a lot.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Oh wait, I got a call on the other line.
Okay, later.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Hello.
Jerry, it's Sharon from NYU.
Oh, hi.
I was just calling to tell you I'm not going to play up that angle we talked about in the story.
Oh, thank you very much. That's great. Hold on a second. I got a call on the other line. Hello?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing? You know, I got that reporter from the newspaper on the other line.
Oh, hey, so what did she say?
Oh, she said she's not going to play up that angle in the story. She thinks we're heterosexual. I guess we fooled her. Yeah. All right, I'll get rid of her. Hold on. Sharon? Hello? Sharon, are you there? I'm back.
You know, I could hear you on the other line.
What are you talking about?
I heard what you said. Sharon, are you there?
You heard me talking on the other line? Are you sure?
Yes, I heard you.
Well, maybe she was disconnected.
Maybe she wasn't. Maybe she heard the whole conversation.
All right, hang on. Let me call Kramer and see if you can hear anything. Hold on.
Hello.
Kramer, there may be a problem with the phone. Hold on.
There may be a problem with the phone. Hold on.
Oh, no. Kramer, this phone's a piece of junk. Goodbye. Everything. What are we gonna do?
Now she thinks we're gay. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
No, of course not. People's personal sexual preferences are nobody's business but their own.
So fucking good. Absolute. Such a fucking perfect scene. So from there we get it all. You know, it all comes out, and there's a scene of Elaine giving Jerry his gift. It's a Bette Midler CD. Which is fucking hilarious. It's like, yeah, okay. She's like, I thought you liked Bette Miller. He's like, I do. She's all right. Like, yeah, this is just like way too gay. Everything about it is just like super gay. So then Jerry has to call his parents because everything came out to tell them that it's not true. George goes to see, and I think this is probably one of the best scenes, is George goes to see his mother in the hospital because she fell off the toilet throughout her back again after reading about the story. And it's a shot-for-shot remake of the scene that he was in the bathroom, or he was in the hospital with his mother when that woman was getting the sponge bath. But this time, it's instead of two women behind the sheet, it's two men. I thought that was absolutely fucking hilarious. And you and I were talking yesterday, like, it's line for line the same.
Yeah,
it's pretty perfect. And so George is equally as uncomfortable. And so basically it goes on from there, and then you come to find out the woman from NYU is like, oh yeah, I made a huge mistake. And then she's like, wants to meet with him. And then like Jerry and her are like totally making out. She's a good looking girl. I can't remember. She was like all over the 90s for a while. Can't remember her name though. She's a pretty 90s hot. Probably even like maybe like early 2000s. She'd still be a hot commodity on television. Not so much now. She's kind of like Starbucks and Nug Boots kind of thing.
Her name is Paula Marshall.
Yeah, what else has she been in?
A bunch of TV stuff.
Yeah.
Game of Silence. I don't know what that is.
That sounds like a fake movie in the Seinfeld universe.
Yeah. She was on an episode of The Mentalist. She doesn't have steady work. It's just, well, it's steady, but it's not like with one series.
Yeah, I'm looking at some.
Oh, she was on Californication.
That's where I know her from. Yes. She's the woman that Hank Moody sleeps with, and she ends up throwing up like while they're having sex.
Gross.
Yeah. She was a hottie in that episode. She gets like super high with him or whatever, and then she ends up getting sick.
All right then.
Have you ever watched that show?
Nope. Never seen it.
It's pretty good. It's actually pretty good. Well, the first couple seasons were. So one story that we forgot to tell you, and then we're going to end it here, is George had been dating this woman who, in the beginning of the episode, said that when he tried to break up with her, that she was going to kill herself because she couldn't live without him, which when he tells Elaine just starts laughing, which is one of the fucking funniest things.
She's like, she's going to kill herself over you?
Like, I don't get it. And so when George shows her, he purposely shows her the article, she's like, oh, I don't see the problem. And he's like, yeah, it says I'm gay. I'm like super gay. And she's like, well, I want to hear Jerry say it because I don't believe you. And so he goes over to Jerry's apartment where Jerry is making out with Sharon. He's like, Jerry, oh my God, you're gay? Or like, you're with a woman? How dare you? And Jerry's like, get the fuck out of here. Like, what are you doing? And of course, George blows it for Jerry and Sharon leaves. And and then George is still trying to keep up the ruse for this crazy woman. And then he admits, like, fine, I'm not gay. I'm a porn star named Buck Naked. And then the woman's like, oh, really? He can't get rid of her. Would you pretend to be gay to get out of a relationship with a woman?
I pretended to be gay to not talk to an ugly woman.
Really?
Yeah. Like, that's how superficial I am. Like, I don't... Nah, I can't. I
did you put on it? Did you put on a shitty gay accent, or did you just say I'm gay?
Oh no, I wasn't offensive with it. I wasn't offensive with it because you know, people, as stated before, I give off a gay vibe. Apparently,
yeah, I believe it.
So, I'm gay. You know, because it was I was supposed to be like, this is for when I used to work at Target, and This one guy was like, hey man, come help me talk to these chicks. And of course he wanted the pretty one, and the one with the pretty face, and the other one had a nice body, but like, nah man, like I can't. I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, no, a pretty face goes a long way.
I mean, look, sometimes you gotta fall on that grenade, I guess.
Nope, sorry. I'll hang out with you, be your gal pal. but yeah, he never did get her number though, because he was fucking whack. And I was gay, so
wasn't gonna work out. Did he know that you were lying?
Huh?
Did he know that you were lying?
The way it's set up, it was at a house party. And you know, I don't like being around people.
Yes, I'm aware.
So they were off doing their own thing. And yeah, she was just kind of left with me. But like I said, I didn't feel like being bothered. You know what I mean? So I was just like, I'm gay.
I like that was your out. You're like, I'm out of here.
Right. Like, man. Like, I've never been one of them dudes that's so hard up a pussy that I'll just fuck anything.
Yeah, no.
Like, dudes like that, just, they're pathetic to me.
Yeah. It's like, have some standards.
Right.
Yeah. I've never pretended to be gay to, I'm trying to think. I don't think so. No, I definitely have not. Yeah. Like, I've had a less than attractive woman hit on me and I'm like, that's great. I'm not interested. I'll be a dick and I'll just like take your phone number and never call you. Like, oh, give me yours. I don't have a phone. Is that okay? Is that okay to say? Sad, you believe that? Yeah. Okay. Let's go with that. I had a pen like back in the day. You know, if you're a single guy, you'd carry a pen around. Hopefully, you know, that would maybe get you a number at some point. Right. And this one girl was like, hey, can I borrow your pen? And I was like, oh yeah, sure. And she like took my pen and wrote her number down and gave it to me. And I was like, oh, okay. It's like, yeah. I mean, you could have just kept the pen. I don't even really need it now. Like, and I never took a pen with me ever again. It's like, it became like a superstition for me. Like, no, I'm good. But no, I've certainly not pretended to be gay to get out of something.
That's not bad.
No, I don't think it's offensive.
People leave you alone.
Yeah, they just fucking leave you alone.
I do that with drinking too.
Yeah, you tell people that you have a problem with alcohol.
Yeah,
that's not a good thing.
I'm a recovering alcoholic. That way they leave you alone, and they feel sorry for you.
Like, you want some pity.
Yeah.
Like, the funny thing is with that is I remember you would say that when you were single. I was like, don't tell people that. Don't tell women that. Like, because women will think, like, oh, this guy's kind of fucked up.
Like, oh, yeah. He's got a problem.
Yeah, he's got a problem. Like, no, don't do that. Yeah, that's a bad move there, buddy. Yeah, you can tell other dudes that shit. Don't tell women that. Not women that you hope to sleep with at some point. If you hope to see them naked, maybe not mention that. That's a pretty big character flaw. Pretty big one. Oh, really? You were a drunk. Great. Gotta go. So then the very last scene, after George quote unquote admits that he's actually a porn star and not gay to this woman, Kramer comes in and he comes in with like this good looking fucking Superman looking dude. And, he's like, hey guys. And the good looking guy's like, hey everybody. And so he's like, all right, we're going to get out of here. And they just go back to Kramer's apartment and George and Jerry are like, okay, that was, I guess Kramer is experimenting with dudes now. Because Jerry earlier said, you know, Kramer's like, well, yeah, of course they think you're gay. You're thin. You're single. You're thin. And, Jerry's like, yeah, so are you, Kramer. And Kramer like blew Kramer's mind, which was a fucking physical reaction moment. And so then like the two of them are walking back into Kramer's apartment and Kramer comes busting back in a second later. He's like, he's the phone guy. Not that there's anything wrong with that, which was like a perfect way to end the episode, I thought. But everybody was really strong in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody was, no one overstayed their welcome. The two principals were able to do their thing and be funny, which is, you know, the Jerry and George relationship. Like that's the thing that drives this show for me.
Yeah.
I agree. And yeah, this was a perfect episode.
Yes, it was. I literally laughed the entire way through. You and I watched it together yesterday and we're just both fucking rolling. Like the shit is just funny.
Yeah.
It's just a good one. All right. That is it for us. We will see you guys next week for another episode of Airing of Grievances.
See ya.
Bye. Bow, 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 bow.
Really?